the Lord knows when we need a shot in the arm. And so take this as encouragement. In 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. How many of you does that include? Every single one of us. That's it. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot, meaning the Father is the one who begot the Son, also loves him who is begotten of the Father, who is Christ and each other, right? Not only was Christ begotten of God, but you and I are begotten of God. So whoever loves God loves Jesus and also loves each other, right? By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and habitually keep his commandments. Remember, we talked about a week ago and the week before that that we are members of one another. And, my love for God and my love for you is expressed, it's no different. If I have love for God, it's revealed in the way that I honor and keep his words. His words are treasured in my heart, and I find myself keeping them out of delight, not as a legal matter, right? And if I truly love you, what does this verse say? I will find myself doing the exact same thing. My love for God and my love for you compels me to do the same thing, and that is obey. Amen? He says, for this is the love of God, that we habitually keep his commandments. And his commandments are not hard. They're not burdensome. They are not heavy, and they're not weighty. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. He didn't say whoever's born of God and is mature overcomes the world. He said whoever's born of God overcomes the world. It's a byproduct of being his child. We're not talking about you have to be really super mature, because we are talking about maturity today. But this right here is unconditional of what this. This doesn't say the sons of God, in which case he could be talking about the mature children. He says here, whoever is born of God. That includes the brand new baby Christian and the person who's been born again for 60, 70 years, all of them in between, right? Whoever has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our trust in him. It's no wonder that the enemy, from the day that you get born again, is constantly challenging your trust and constantly trying to get your attention on the affairs of this world and the affairs of this life and the things that are happening in your life, the things that are happening in your body, the things that are happening in your circumstances, in your relationships, instead of your attention on God, because if he can effectively do that, he will rob you of your trust. And if he can rob you of your trust, he robs you of overcoming, because there is no overcoming if you've got your attention on those other things. You literally exchange overcoming for defeat. Can anybody identify with that? Do those words ring true in experience in your life like they do in mine? Okay. So he says here, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. So if I'm born of God, this tells me this is what I do. I overcome the world. And this is the victory that causes that overcoming is our trust. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Skip on down to verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is far greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son has this very same witness inside his own heart. He who does not believe God has made God a liar, because he's not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And what is this testimony? It is that God has given us eternal life, and that this life is found in Christ Jesus. He who has the Son has this eternal life. He who does not have the Son does not have it. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Notice, now, keep your finger right there. Real quickly, turn back to chapter 2. Quickly, turn back to chapter 2 and look in verse 12. He says, I write to you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you fathers, because you have known him who is beginning from the beginning. I write to you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. See, he's talking to people of different developments here, right?
Yes.
But back here, he throws all development stages aside, and he just says, whoever believes. These are, it's not because John was unaware that there are different stages in Christ, but there's some things that are not contingent of, on where you are in Christ. It just is contingent of whether you are in Christ. Are you following?
Yes.
And what's he say here? He says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Well, that's everybody who's born again, regardless of your maturity level, right?
Yes.
That you may know that you have as a current possession eternal life. You have union and knowing of God. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Continue to believe. That you don't get so far and your faith fall out the bottom of your feet and you cease believing. And we're not just talking about, you need to understand that these were not Greek-minded people. John wasn't. He was a Jew. He thought holistically. He didn't parse out his Christian life. He didn't say, well, you know, I believe in Jesus concerning salvation, but when it comes over here to the situation of my life, I don't have so much faith. No. They don't think that way. They're saying, you know, if you cease to continue to believe in the name of Jesus Christ in one area, it's the same thing as doing it in all of them. Unbelief is unbelief.
Yeah.
It's not what you're not believing, it's who you're not believing.
That's right.
Are you following?
Yes.
Well, I believe in Jesus concerning my salvation, but I'm also not so sure I believe in him concerning my finances. Well, then you really don't believe at all.
That's right.
It's not what you're believing, it's who. You see, I mean, remember, folk. Faith is not focused on the what, it's focused on the person.
Amen.
If you don't tell me you can trust him for your eternal salvation, but you can't trust him for a bill, that makes no sense. I mean, come on, let's strap our brains on here. And God never told you to check your brain at the door when you got born again, right?
That's right.
Common sense tells me if I'm not going to trust a perfect stranger with holding on to the leash of my dog, I'm certainly not going to trust him with the keys to my house. Right?
Amen.
Right? So if I'm not going to trust God with my finances, what tells me I'm going to trust him with eternal life? You're kidding yourself. It's who you're trusting, not what you're trusting for.
Amen.
Are you following?
Yes.
So this is where the rubber hits the road, right?
Yes.
He says here, these things I've written to you, verse 13 again, these things I've written to you that you may believe in the name of the Son of God and that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. In other words, knowing him and knowing his will is paramount. You might as well not even start praying if you don't know.
That's right.
Right? I mean, the Bible tells us whoever comes to God must first believe.
That's right.
Well, how can you believe if you don't know?
You
can't. So why pray? Hello?
Yeah. That's right.
Am I reading this wrong?
Amen. No,
he said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, well, that means it's pretty important that I know what he's thinking. I know what his will is. And we see this demonstrated all the way through Jesus' ministry. The question was always, not can you, but will you? Right?
Yes.
And Jesus always answered in the affirmative, didn't he?
Yes.
And once they knew, faith was sponsored in their heart. Bam. They went from unbelief to healed like that. Right?
Yes.
They went from unbelief to complete trust, or at least even partial trust, that got them, you know, where they needed to be very, very quickly because they heard the affirmative, they heard what his will was. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask. Meaning, in other words, the bystanding brother. If I see a brother or sister in Christ sinning a sin that does not lead to spiritual death, in other words, they're not in defiance and rebellion towards God, they're just in, they've been caught up in sin, they've been caught up in something, they've been blindsided, or they've allowed themselves to backslide over a period of time, but they're not running away from God. They're not in active defiance against him. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
If I see a brother like that, what does it tell me that I can do? It says, he will ask. And God will give him life for those committing sins not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I said, do not say you should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not make a habit of sin. In other words, they don't live from a position of being a sinner.
That's right.
Right? He says, but he who has been born of God guards himself and keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Remember in that little chart I gave you last 2 weeks ago that talks about the development stages of a child, of a baby and a child and an adult. The baby walks around largely unaware that there even is a devil. Right? And what's it say here? We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know, pay attention to these last two verses, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding.
Amen.
He's given you an understanding. He gave that to you.
Yes.
An understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Let it be. So what's he saying? He's saying, you know what? If you've been born of God, overcoming is your nature. And the reason why overcoming is your nature is trust is your nature. Trust is the automatic byproduct of a child of God. And the reason why he says this is because a child of God, he's writing from the perspective that a child of God stays connected to him. They're talking with him. They're interested in him. They are they're hungry for him. They're pursuing him. And in the middle of that, faith just... The children of God ought never to be looking around, floundering, looking for faith. As though it's the keys that they lost.
That's right.
You know, God's not an object. He's a person, right? You don't lose trust. You just either have it or you don't. And it's based upon your union with him, based upon your communion with him, based on your interaction with him. Ephesians tells us, don't be fools, but constantly know what God's will is.
Amen.
Always know it. In other words, don't ever have a time when you don't know it. This is your commission. He goes on and talks about the fact that he says, at one time you were children of darkness, now you are children of light. Walk that way.
Amen.
Walk that way.
Amen.
At one time you did not have an understanding. And you did not know God. You were aliens from God. But now you have been given an understanding and you do know God. Walk that way. Walk like you know him. Right? And what's going to be the end result? Faith rises in the heart and you'll find yourself overcoming.
Amen.
A lot of the problem is we have our goal set for overcoming. And so we'll miss it entirely because that's not the goal. The goal is knowing him. If we know him, faith rises, we overcome. If your goal is overcoming, you're not going to come to know him, you're not going to have faith, and you're going to flounder. Because you're task-oriented, not person-oriented. Not relationship-oriented. Are you following? But if you see how easy it is, Jesus said it. I mean, the easiest message you ever heard in your life was from Jesus when he said, if you just love God and love me with all your heart, you'll find yourself keeping it all.
That's right.
Do you think he just oversimplified it? No, he was telling you the whole truth of the matter. Because if you just do that, you'll find faith rising. And if you find faith rising, you find overcoming taking place. Because we are not of those who are overcome, but we are the ones who do the overcoming. Amen?
Yes.
Because whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. This is the gunpowder that causes the overcoming is our trust in him.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and do some praise and worship. Amen?
Amen.